Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too, Too Real. Yes. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Is Matthew Chris Elliott is a comedic god, Haas.
Indeed. So, today on the show... We are covering a show that may or may not have been a pilot for a television series. we're examining Chris Elliott's Action Family, which premiered on Cinemax in 1986. It's very interesting. Program. It was directed by Gary Weiss, written by Chris Elliott, Sandy Frank, as well as Matt Wilkline. Yes. They were all writers on Late Night with David Letterman at the time, including Chris. So, yeah. It's a very interesting show. It's a hybrid television show of a kind of like a 70s cop show mixed with a family sitcom. Very meta, very interesting.
Yeah.
Featured a young Seth Green as Chris Elliott's son, Danny. Just, you know, a little bit of trivia there. So, as we examine this here, Matt, what happened in this episode?
Man, so many things happen. It's so hard to just pinpoint one thing, but it opens up with Chris wearing a wig, obviously wearing a wig. His, after the credits roll, because by the way, the credits are kind of like, sort of like, almost like the Brady Bunch a little bit, but the song is a little bit like a different kind of show. I'm not like a Brady Bunch. There's a, they got like the windows, the tiles or whatever type of thing. And then, all of these weird action sequences going on, like a plane blowing up in the, intro credits and stuff like that. And, he ends up going to his detective office, and he's talking to his friend called No Brain, which is a African American jazz musician who's got like his upright bass. And Chris gives him a quarter and tells him to go to college. And then we find out though later on that apparently they quote grew up together, even though No Brain is like 40 years older than Chris and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so there's just that's just one taste of how weird this show gets, where it's just like just almost too much in a sense, but like they know when to pull back, like just at the right moment where it just gets like a little too weird. And No Brain, quote, you know, his nickname or whatever, comes in and asks him if he could solve a case where all of these jazz musicians are getting murdered, and he thinks that, you know, the killer is just like specifically going after jazz musicians. And Chris, by the way, his character name is Chris, as well as the actor Chris Elliott, and he's like, well, it'll cost you $800 a day plus expenses. It's like you don't have that kind of money or whatever. And so then he leaves, and all of a sudden you hear like, you know, gunfire, and then, you know, he goes out there and finds out that No Brain was killed. And then, like, they do this really cool thing where it's like a bunch of echo, and he's like, No Brain, and just have all this ridiculous echo going on. And then, by the way, that part's on film, okay? And then, but when he goes home, it's on video. So it's like they change it, and then, like,
yeah.
And there's all this, like, laugh tracks, and, like this show is, like, I only watched it twice. If I watched it, like, a bunch more times, I might be able to analyze it a little better, but, like, there's just so many creative things going on in the show. Like, at some points, like, if you have the TV turned up loud enough, you can hear it, where, like, you'll actually hear, like, voices talking in the background. Like, it's, like, members of the audience talking about the show as the show is going on.
Yeah.
Like, they'll, like, repeat the joke. Like, no, he said this or whatever. I'm like, that's just really, like, really creative. Like, especially for 1986. I mean, nowadays, we've kind of gotten used to TV being weird or whatever. But for 86, like, just coming up with these really weird ideas, like having audience members talking to each other in the episode about what's going on, and like even sometimes they'll actually like they'll pretend like they heard something, they'll turn around to see like where that voice comes from. I mean, it's just really, anyway, that's all I got for now, but it was really interesting.
Yeah, the basic quote unquote plot, after No Brain is killed, he goes home, you know, and we have like typical family sitcom. He takes off his wig and he has like on his coat rack like a little like head to put his wig on, like a styrofoam head, which, you know, whatever, it's weird. He gets there and, you know, he's got his kids there. They're having dinner at one point, and the two youngest kids are at the table. Seth Green is the son. His wife, who is obviously a lot older than him, which is interesting because she, the actress playing it, because like at the time Chris Elliott was only 26 years old when he made this, and there's no way he has these three kids and this wife, but you know, no way he was growing up with No Brain. Anyways, his wife and kids are at the dinner table, and the wife's talking about how the oldest daughter is kind of being rebellious or whatever, and she comes to the table and she's naked. They've got like these little black bars covering her naughty bits. Like you do. And I don't know, it was kind of funny. He basically says, you know, you gotta, you know, put some clothes on and I'll let you go out with this guy that she wants to go out with that she met at a prison dance. did you talk about, I'm trying to remember, about when No Brain was killed, he found a feather earring.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and the guy ran away. That was killing the killer ran away, I should say, and so she puts on some clothes. The boyfriend comes to pick her up, and he's like your typical like ex-con biker type guy, and he has an earring on just like the one that Chris found on No Brain's body. Dun dun dun. So we're assuming that you know, he's the killer. Then what happens? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, they do the music, you know, where it's like, you know, the audience is gasping, like, oh my god, you know, type of thing. And then, I think he goes back to work the next... No, he has this weird dream where Abraham Lincoln is spanking him for some reason. Just typical Chris Elliott type humor, you know.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up, and then, you know, his wife's like, you know, what's wrong or whatever, and he's like, I gotta go back to work, and he puts his wig on. And then he's kind of asking, like, he's asking around, like, about the feather or whatever, and he's kind of talking to one of his detective buddies who, you know, work, like, at an actual police station to, you know, do a trail on this Zach guy or whatever. Don't know his last name, just know that his name is Zach. Not Zach Morris, by the way, even though Zach Morris is trash.
Indeed. So we'll
there. And then he's just, and then, by the way, so they do this really cool music segments where it's like almost like a man on the street type of style. Like this episode's really jarring when you watch it, because it's like they jump back from like three different styles, like, and it's so like they're playing like this kind of like funk bass kind of music or whatever, as he's like asking all these people about the feather and if they've seen that guy or whatever. And then he ends up going to this hot dog stand, and he asked the guy, you know, to make him a hot dog with just ketchup. And then the guy, like, he's like a little bit older, you know, older gentleman. He's like fumbling around and getting all nervous and stuff like that. And then, you know, it takes him like a minute just to put the hot dog on the bun, but he ends up putting mustard on it instead. And Chris Elliott's like, oh, everything's fine. You know, it's great, you know, great looking hot dog. He's like, except there's one problem. It's mustard on it. I don't want no stinking mustard. And he crumples up the hot dog and punches him. And then it turns into, and like, then the other guy's like, oh, I think I can fix it for you. And then he punches him in the gut. It just turns into like this brawl for like no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, and the hot dog guy is played by Bob Elliott, who is Chris Elliott's dad.
Right. So. And then, so yeah, Bob, he wins the fight, and he just takes off with his hot dog cart, and then Chris tries to shoot him with his gun as he's fleeing, and misses, thankfully, each time. And then, what else happens, right? He gets a wife, as his wife calls the his detective office, and talks to his, I don't know, secretary? I'm not sure what she would be,
yeah,
exactly.
I think it's like secretary, yeah.
Yeah, reminding her to tell him that they have to have a meeting with, what's his name? Daniel?
Danny.
Daniel's?
Danny, yeah.
And Danny's teacher, because his grades haven't been good lately. And he's got, like, one of those, like, phones in his car or whatever. And then, you want to talk about the cameo? Because it's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, he's stopped at a light, and David Letterman pulls up next to him playing himself. And they completely break the, you know, concept, and they just talk about the whole situation where, you know, what's going on in the show and everything, and it's just kind of funny.
Sure.
So, like, Letterman is basically just kind of, you know, ribbing them and saying stuff like, you know, it's just you in this in this project, so, you know, like, you're the star of it, and all this other stuff, you know, and giving him a hard time, like Letterman does. Yeah, so it was pretty funny cameo, and then he mentions the fact, he's like, something about, you know, other actors, and he's like, didn't I see your dad over there? You know. And then he's like, which one is he? Bob or Ray? Then he's like, I think it's Bob.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah, yeah. Bob and Ray were a comedy duo that Bob Elliott was part of. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were like really. Oh, okay. They were like a really famous comedy duo, like a stand-up comedy duo. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, there's the Elliotts have a nice history of comedic. You know, it's interesting that, you know, like, Chris Elliott and his daughter Abby Elliott are the only two father and daughter to both be cast members of Saturday Night Live.
Oh wow!
And then And Bob Elliott also hosted Saturday Night Live once, too, so they've all been on the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which one is Abby Elliott? Is she, like, recent? Or
She was on maybe within the last decade. She's really cute. She also was on the second-to-last season of How I Met Your Mother, which Chris Elliott was also on. She played Ted's like psycho girlfriend, like his last girlfriend that he had before he met the mother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. And plus, too, David Letterman in his cameo, he goes, "Oh, they'll put anything on cable," and then he just drives off.
Yeah.
That was good.
Which was true at the time.
Yeah, I mean, Cinemax was kind of known for. Well, it was known for, like, softcore porn. I mean, I only noticed from rumors because I was, like, 5, you know, when Cinemax was popular. But
no, you know you were watching it when you were 5,
I was not watching softcore porn. You know, thankfully I was not introduced that stuff at a way too young age. Which would then just completely warp my view on sex. No, thankfully that did not happen. But, which, you know, for most people these days it's kind of weird. Anyway, there's like a whole article about, anyway, I don't want to get into that, but it's kind of messed up that like people are younger and younger and younger, like getting exposed to like porn. It's just like, it's really not healthy for the growing brain. Anyway, that's a whole different subject, but yeah, it's not good. Anyway.
So how about them local sports teams and the games that they play?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, never mind.
Exactly. What was I saying now? I got sidetracked.
Oh, yeah, so it was just about cable. Do you want to take a break really quick, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of the episode? We'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And, as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guest every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, sorry. Anyways, so
I like that. That was a good rhyme right there.
Yeah, it was Eminem. Anyways,
I just tried to charge my phone with my laptop. It didn't work. Oh well, it was fun. Fun try.
Good times. Anyways, so what else happens here in this episode here, Matt?
Well, I'm going to clear my throat because Mike was just mean to me right now, so I'm mad at him. He said, "Would you like to come back to reality, Matt?" And then that offended me.
Sorry.
Cancel culture. Canceling Mike.
So tune in next week when it's just me hosting the show. I'm just
joking. All to Mike because apparently...
I'll host it with myself. There'll be two of me. It'll be two Mikes.
I'll do all to Matt, and then we'll just, like, host both of our
shows on the web on the page and just start flooding competitive podcasts, and then we'll eventually have like a reunion 2 weeks later where we're like, you know what, we're actually better together, let's just do this again. And it turned out the whole thing was just a marketing ploy to get people interested in like a fake feud, and then that we got more listeners that way. So congratulations for preemptively falling for our trick that we won't actually,
but now we just gave it all away, so we probably shouldn't do it.
Yeah, god damn it.
But I was hoping to start my own show called All Two Mike and Ike, and it was gonna be me and David Ike, the conspiracy theorist. Yeah, it's just gonna be me and him, and and we were just gonna talk about candy.
Yeah, well, there you go. Mike and Ike candy.
We're going to talk about every other candy besides Mike and Ike's.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. It makes even more sense because, you know, with David Ike, it's not the obvious. It's always what's hidden, you know? So, you know, Mike and Ike is too obvious.
Speaking of candy, so the other day at work, I'm just going to share this here. I was at my lunch table, and one of my coworkers, she says, "Sweet Jesus." And then I said, "I just pictured a candy bar shaped like Jesus." And then she says, "You can't eat Jesus." And I said, "What about communion?" good times.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Catholic, but I studied that so much, just the concept of, I mean, Easter's tomorrow, so
yes.
When we're recording this, tomorrow. So I studied that whole concept, and it's just really fascinating when you think about it, because it's like, you're literally putting, like, not pudding as in, like, the food. I mean, you're putting, I guess it could turn into pudding. I don't know. Anyway, that's off topic. But you're literally putting Christ into your body. So, like, literally, like, you're, like, almost like a bit of Christ. Like, you're, like a piece of Christ. Like, so you're not full Christ. You're, like, maybe, like, one thousandth Christ or something like that. You do it every week. So you literally are walking around, you know, town, wherever you're at, with like, and you know, it's millions of people doing this too, right? So it's like literally Christ is just like all over the world at once. Like, you know, it's a very interesting concept.
So you know what I'm gonna do?
What?
I'm starting a company. It's gonna be called Sweet Jesus Pudding. And yep, it's gonna be like chocolate pudding.
God,
yeah, literally God. And pudding, yeah.
That's terrible.
So if I believed in hell, I'm going there. Anyway, so
I apologize to all like the Eastern Orthodox and Catholic listeners here.
So
I'm not saying it.
No, there's nothing bad about that. I'm just saying. Anyway, so back to
You were brought up Catholic, so you know.
Yeah, back to Chris Elliott, right. In Action Family.
Right, in Action. I'm not sure if Chris Elliott's Catholic or his character. Anyway, he shows up to the meeting or whatever, the school meeting.
Yeah, they have a school meeting because Danny's doing bad in school.
Yeah, he's like can't understand his homework or whatever. And so he gets there, and his teacher is named Mrs. Diaz. And he's like, "You can call me Chris." And she's like, "You can call me Mrs. Diaz." And it's like, "Oh, okay." And then she's like, "You know, Danny's, you know, a very bright." No. So, like, the mom is like, you know, like, "I don't understand. Danny's a very bright child. I don't know why he can't understand." And, like, Chris is like, "Let me handle this." Just says the exact same thing as his wife. So it's kind of like a play on the whole, like, sexism thing. Like, you know, like, "Oh, a woman can't." Which is interesting, too. 1986. So, like, almost got, like, a little bit of woke in here, like, way before that was even a thing. So that's very interesting right there. And,
exactly.
And what's that?
I said exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then, she's like, "Well, this is a Spanish-speaking school, and I have no doubt that he's bright, but you need to take him to an English-speaking school." And they're like, "Oh, wait a minute, what?" And then I forgot, like, Chris tells some really corny joke, and all of a sudden the applause just gets completely out of control, and Mrs. Diaz is like looking over like where the window is, like, and they all get up, like take a bow to like the studio audience who's apparently watching this whole thing unfold, and like someone throws like a thing of flowers at them. Then they just return back to the scene. I'm like, this is really interesting.
So weird.
Yeah.
It makes our humor look normal. Anyways, what ends up happening is we find out that it's a Spanish speaking school, and that's why he's doing so bad, because he doesn't speak Spanish. Yep. And yep. They find out that they got in the wrong bus. That's how he ended up at the school. Because they wouldn't notice that the wrong kid's at the school and say something to the family before then.
Right,
because
yeah. Danny never would want to say, by the way, they all speak Spanish all the time. Nope.
It's very funny. So then what happens next? I'm trying to remember.
let's see. His detective buddy from the police station calls him up and says that he's been putting on a trail on that Zach guy, and that somehow he knows that both him and his daughter are at the house. So I guess he just had a guy like following him the whole time, or so, I don't know. And then so they rush to the house, and Zach and Melissa are making out while the youngest daughter is just watching them with the lights turned off and the stairs. Creepy. She's just standing there the whole time.
I know.
I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then,
well, there was also like a running gag throughout the thing a couple times. And it's like, where's Grandpa? And then you hear a toilet flush.
Oh yeah, that's right. When they're at dinner, the first
exactly.
You never see him in the show. And then they get inside and they turn on the lights. And they're like, oh, what's going on? You got a lot of explaining to do, Missy. Blah blah blah. And, you know, at first they think, you know, she's like, what? Why'd you do this, you know, or whatever. She's thinking that because she shaved her head, got like a tattoo on her eye in her head now. And she's like, you know, you guys don't pay attention to me anymore or whatever. And stuff like that.
It's like,
and
you didn't even notice I shaved my head.
Right, and then like, they're like, we gotta do something about your boyfriend or whatever. And he's like, that's a nice earring you got there. And he's like, oh yeah, that kind of looks like the one that you've got. And like, the audience is like, wait, what? And it's like, wait, what are you saying, Zach? Like, yeah. She gave me that earring, and then she lost the other one the other day, and then like all of a sudden this old lady who's like sitting on the couch is like, it's obvious that Melissa is the killer. And then like the whole family's like looking around like who said that type of thing, you know, like,
yeah.
And it turns out that, you know, Melissa was the killer, and then it's just like done for like comedic effect too, like, oh well, I only wasted those people just to get your attention and stuff like that. And they're like, oh,
and then it's like, why did you choose jazz musicians? And she's like, I just chose random people.
Right. And it's like, oh well, funny how some things work themselves out and all this kind of stuff. And then like, well, what do we do about Zach? And she's like, well, he's an ex-con. You know, instead of the younger daughter's like, hey, Dad, let's kill him. It's like, whoa. Like, that's really dark to have, like, a six-year-old say.
And they shoot him, and he goes flying through the front window.
Yeah. He just shoots the guy like, please. And he's like, I'm sorry, but, like, I got to look after my family or something. No, this is for no brain, and shoots him.
Yeah.
And then what happens after that? They do something else, right? Like a music video.
Oh yeah, they have at the end. They sing along to a Partridge Family song, and they have like a music video where the family's dressed up like the Partridge Family singing along with the song from God. You know, and yeah, it was so weird. And then that's basically how it ends.
Yeah, it's just a weird. Was that the only episode? Was it like just a one off?
Yeah, it was
like
a one off. That was the only episode they ever made.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was like basically kind of considered a comedy special, a Cinemax comedy special at the time for Chris Elliott. So yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of weird. Do you want to take a break and then we can come back and talk about some like trivia and some reviews about this show?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, we'll be right back.
Need a new podcast to listen to? Well, why not check out the Super Podcast from the Super Network at supermarcy.com, where we discuss films and pop culture, and we do monthly fan-voted commentaries. We are available on all major podcasting platforms.
Boom, we're back.
Boom.
Boom. My name's Mike. This is Matt.
Yep.
So, okay, anyways, we're back here to talk more about Chris Elliott's action family. So there are there's not much trivia that's out there about this. I mean, this was made as a special for Cinemax. That's basically all we really know. We do know that it's influenced people like Dan Harmon when he created Community. And basically, it was way ahead of its time, I would say that. You know, it was like basically, this would be normal today. maybe not quite normal, but pretty close. Do you want me to read the reviews that they got on the Internet Movie Database?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a 9 out of 10 review here by Cortez Jagger. And this was written on December 10th of 2005. The headline is, "Very, very funny if you like Chris Elliott." My roommate and I rented this on video about 10 years ago at an indie video store in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I thought this was a great early nugget showcasing Chris Elliott's annoying but hilarious persona. If it surfaces on DVD or cable TV, this is worth a spin just for David Letterman's blistering cameo where he ball busts Chris at a stoplight. There is also a delicious lampooning of both British TV. It's shot on film for outdoor scenes and video for live before a studio audience with a laugh track, allowing Elliott to jump between the two mediums, and makes fun of the Partridge Family. The family is also a band. Plus, there's a dream sequence where President Abe Lincoln spanks a crying Chris Elliott. Lincoln also shows up again in his FDR one-man show. Worth ferreting this one if you are a fan of his brand of humor. Okay, and then there's a 2 out of 10 star. This was written on May 22nd of 2017 by Martin Haffer. I liked Chris Elliott's Get a Life, but Action Family was terrible. Before assuming I hate Chris Elliott, understand that I did enjoy his surreal and often dopey series Get a Life, which I highly recommend. It's probably one of the greatest sitcoms ever on TV, by the way, which came out 2 years after this failed TV pilot. I think it's mostly because, although Chris behaved strangely in both shows, Get a Life was usually clever and funny. As for Action Family, it has few clever elements, but makes little of them because it just didn't find it I just didn't find it funny or professional looking. And I can only assume the folks who rejected the show felt pretty much the same. The show is almost like two separate shows. On one hand, Chris plays a private eye, and on the other, he's a dopey dad with a goofy family, complete with one of the most god-awful laugh tracks I've ever heard. Because of this, it makes the show come off like it thinks it's really funny and clever, but it just isn't. The plot, if you care, is about a serial killer as well as Chris and the wife trying to make their awful children happy. The bottom line is that some of the weird, surreal ideas did later make their way to Get a Life, so perhaps it's good Elliott got to try and fail and learn from it. Overall, horribly unfunny and stupid.
Okay, completely missed the point of it, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the whole laugh track thing, it was supposed to be bad. That was the whole
point. Yeah, that's what they don't understand is the thing is it was a surreal comedy that was totally meant to be that way. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know. Would you recommend anybody watch this, Matt?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I watched it on YouTube and the quality wasn't that good, but if you could find a better, quality of it... it was still good even with the crappy YouTube quality, but
yeah,
find it on VHS or like a burned copy from like a friend or something like that. I'm not advocating, illegal, whatever.
I mean, I highly doubt there are any high quality versions of this out there anywhere. Even if you buy the VHS, which you can buy for
about $40 on Amazon. probably is still just, you know, it's VHS quality, so.
Right, yeah. So, was this ever actually aired, or was this like, yeah, on...
Yeah, it aired on Cinemax.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it aired. Not sure when, but it did air. So.
Okay.
I mean, sometime in 1986.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably like I doubt someone bought it to save to then sell later, you know, type of thing. Like, I'm going to invest in all of these Action Family tapes so I can sell them for a profit 30 years later.
And who knows? I mean, even back then, even in the 80s, I mean, they did save a lot of stuff at television shows, but I mean, at television stations and networks and whatnot. But
yeah.
I doubt there's even a master copy of this anywhere. You know, they probably, you know, this wasn't something they saved. It's not like, you know, this was the, you know, this wasn't like Happy Days or something where you save the quality masters of the show or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I understand.
But,
you know, I would love it if they would revisit this, you know, at some, I mean, even now would be a great time if, like, I mean, obviously probably hit the woman who played his wife is probably dead, but
I think she's still alive, but I'm not sure. Okay. So yeah. But she's probably like in her 80s or something, I'm assuming. So
yeah. I love the fact that Chris Elliott, like, so that he was 26 years old when that came out, like, mm-hmm. you said. And he looked like he was like in his like 40s at the time. But Chris Elliott is one of these people that, like, he aged up really fast, but then he pretty much looks almost the same. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's 60 years old now.
Wow.
And he still looks about the same as he did when he was 26.
Exactly. So it's like,
yeah,
he had the disadvantage of looking too old for his age, but then he's got the advantage of just almost staying that way, you know?
Yeah.
with Schitt's, by the way, for Schitt's Creek, he's a genius in that show. I mean, yeah. He's like my favorite character in that whole show. Like, he's just,
I really gotta watch that show. I've only seen a few episodes, but
it's I mean, he gets better and better, like, with, like, because he's very his character's very literal minded, like, mm-hmm. he's like a lot of jokes, like he doesn't really get subtlety at all, like,
yeah,
people hinting maybe he should leave and he just like doesn't get the hint and stuff like that. But he's also like so conscious about like everything being like equal, you know, like, you know, the dad's like asking if he can borrow his truck. He's like, yeah, sure. Why don't you just, you know, just fill up the gas tank and, you know, maybe fill the windshield like, you know, fluid and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, make sure that you got the mirror exactly the way it was. And if you don't mind, you know, try to park the car back so I don't have to back out, because I always got to creak my neck and, you know, this kind of stuff. Like. It just, he's like...
Yeah, Chris Elliott is a comic genius. I mean, he's...
Yeah.
He was way ahead of his time, and he still is, I think. Yeah. So, I don't know. Interesting. But I do highly recommend you watch this on YouTube if you get a chance, if you're listening to this. If you made it this far, we kind of spoiled everything, but it's still worth watching. Mm-hmm. I'd recommend watching it before you listen to us, but, hey, you already listened to us if you're this far in the episode.
You can still watch it, though.
Yeah. Anyways, anything else before we wrap things up here, Matt?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, so make sure you check out our website. I've updated it now. It's alltoreal2.com. You can find everything on there, everywhere that you can listen to us. There's also links to our Patreon and our and other ways that you can give us money.
Yeah,
and help support the show. Yeah, because that'd be good, you know. Because keep us going, keep the lights on.
Yeah, you know, help a small, you know, well, small bit. I don't know what you would call it, but, like, you know, just content creator. There we go. We're content creator. We've been doing this for what, 3 years at this point, where we've been doing consistent. Yeah. You know, we love doing this, but we probably have over 100 episodes at this point. If through our various series or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We really love doing it, but we also like a little bit of change, a little bit of, you know, quarters, or, well, not change anymore, because we don't do that
anymore. Yeah, change comes from within, my friend.
Change, well, yeah, true. Oh, wait. Just like what's his name? What's his name?
Wally Pleasant. Damn it,
there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, everybody, make sure you check that out. One good thing is go give us a review on Apple Podcast. Give us a 5-star review if you like the show. Give us a bad review if you hate us. I don't care.
Yeah.
Just review us, because tell us what we could do better. If you hate the sound of my voice, I can't change that. But maybe you want me to wear a sombrero while I'm doing this. I don't know. You know.
Well, they wouldn't see it because it's an audio
podcast. That's right. Okay, in that case, I'm wearing one right now.
No. Actually, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, it'd be cultural appropriation or something. Yeah. So, gotta be careful. Yeah. Okay. Well, how about I tell you what? You know, if you donate money, I'll wear a Speedo while we do this.
Okay, well, that's not cultural appropriation. That's just, no.
That's just creepy.
Just don't, yeah.
Yeah. What should I wear, then?
You should wear... Let's see here. God, it's been like a year since I've been at your apartment. Shit, we haven't seen each other in over a year.
I know. It's weird.
Holy fucking shit. Sorry, that was...
Fuck you, COVID. Fuck you, COVID. Okay, anyway.
We talked a lot.
Yeah.
I haven't actually been to... Okay, your Batman shirt. You should wear that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Every time we record, I'll wear a Batman shirt. Okay. If you give us money, folks.
Yeah. And you won't actually see him wearing the Batman shirt. You just have to take his word for it.
Yes. That he wearing it. I mean, right now, I may or may not be wearing one. I'm not. I'm wearing a...
What you'll need to do is...
I'm wearing a shirt that says part Irish, all awesome. But,
okay. Yeah. So what you need to do is you need to take a video of yourself wearing different of your shirts and have to make sure the audio is turned on, right? And then people have to train their ears to, like, tell what shirt you're wearing just by how the fabric, like...
Yes.
Whips around with the air. So like, oh, I know that's Batman's shirt. I can tell by how his shirt snaps.
Listen to this.
Skin on that one.
Guess what shirt I'm wearing.
I can't hear anything.
Okay. That's the shirt I'm wearing. Right there. So,
yeah. Right. So you're going to have to, like, really, really train your ears hard to figure this out. But it's worth it.
Yes.
And then you'll pay us money for it. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or if, other things. So anyways, I've been Mike, and you've been Matt. You've been Matt. Yep. So tune in again, folks. I'm a little loopy. Wear a mask, get vaccinated. Wear a condom.
Wear a condom. I was waiting for it.
Yep. Unless you're in a healthy relationship where you want to have children, maybe don't wear a condom, because if you wear a condom, there's probably a good chance you're not going to get your wife pregnant.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So
or your significant other. I mean, you don't have to be married, but,
Don't get too woke, Mike.
If you want, children, you can adopt as well. If you're ever having issues there, that's fine. Look into adoption.
Yeah.
See, this is life advice with Mike.
Yeah.
Yep. And I have no children. Anyway, so, bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com. Thank you.